let's keep talking. Welcome back to podcast Found in Estonia, where I, Tiina, usually talk with different foreigners who are living in Estonia. Yet, this time it's a little different. This season is powered by a non-profit organization called Mondo, which aims to reduce global inequality. You can hear more about their project together with them at the end of this episode. What you need to know now is that this season features Estonians who are no strangers to living abroad themselves, and today still, or shall we say again, call Estonia their home country. We will talk about why, when, and how did they end up living abroad? How was their experience compared to living in Estonia? And how has their perspective shifted after moving back to Estonia? Today's guest is an Estonian, Silver Tambur, who is the co-founder and editor-in-chief of EstonianWorld.com. He has previously studied in Tartu in Estonia and lived in the UK, Sri Lanka, India and Germany. We'll dive into Silver's story now and learn how did he end up living abroad, what did he do there, how did it go, and what made him come back. So I want to welcome you, Silver, to the podcast, and let's dive straight into your journey. You grew up in Estonia, and you lived most of your life here, and then you decided to move away. Why did you make this decision, and how did you choose the country to move to?
Hello for me, and thank you for inviting me. Yes, I'm actually from Pärnu originally, Estonia's summer capital, what we call. And I grew up there, which, you know, people who've been in Pärnu, it's a small town, it was a bit of like a small bubble. And I grew up there in very interesting times. When we regained independence in 1991, I was then just entering the high school. And it was the first private high school in Estonia. It's Pärnu Sütevaka Grammar School. Private, that sounds a bit posh, but actually it wasn't that expensive. It was founded by kind of local bohemians. And it was, that was a very interesting place, very interesting. We had a slogan, the school had an official slogan, which was called freedom and responsibility. So, you know, so that kind of Estonia became free, but and also we had this sense of freedom, but at the same time, not without responsibility. So it was really, really intelligent environment. And Pärnu was quite an interesting place in the 1990s. But what happened was when I finished my high school and was about to go to university, I didn't get into Tartu University at first. And then I came to Tallinn, which in the late 1990s was a very different place. It is very European now and a very modern. But in the 1990s, and some expats who've been here for over 20 years, they still remember what was Tallinn like. But most people who have come here have come over, you know, last 5-10 years. They can't even imagine what it was like. It was still like this sort of post-Soviet early capitalist society, lots of crime, very grim, and I didn't like it because I came from my safe bubble in Pärnu and a bit spoiled as well there actually. You know, I came from a good, nice middle, by Estonian standards, middle-class family. And I didn't like it in Tallinn. And then I had sort of personal crisis as well, kind of, you know, thinking what I really want to do in life. I went to that university doesn't actually exist here anymore. I enrolled to Concordia University. It was kind of business university, privately run, and I didn't like it there. You know, it just didn't wasn't for me. And then I just sort of really had to. I was depressed, you know, and just, you know, now we're talking a lot about sort of mental health of young people, but that time, you know, there was no one even talked about it, you know. You didn't know where to go when you're like 18, 19, 20 in the late 1990s. And I was quite an introvert as well at the time. And I didn't even speak to that, to you know, about my personal problems neither to my parents or friends. And so, yeah, and then I was basically, I dropped out from a university. I worked for my brother's company for a while, you know, he imported some stuff. But then I was just really searching for myself and my place in life. And that's when, during that process, I had become an Anglophile, because I read a lot of, like, you know, books about Britain, and I was into British kind of, you know, pop culture and the films and music. And I had been interested about, you know, England, the UK for a while.
But what did you study in Tallinn?
In Tallinn, I studied, it was a business administration. And it wasn't for me, really. No, just not at the time, anyway. You know, just, as I said, I came kind of, you know, from a bit of a bohemian background as well. And sort of, it just seemed like everything was about money and it was kind of harsh, you know. I didn't feel very, very comfortable, and I didn't enjoy my time in Tallinn at the time. And even up to now, when I think about that time, I still have negative feelings and emotions. And it has taken me a long time, many years, to actually start kind of liking Tallinn. I still don't consider Tallinn as my hometown. I would say my hometown is Pärnu and London, actually, because I lived in London for so long, you know. And I've lived in London more than I've lived in Tallinn. And I live and work in Tallinn now as a necessity, kind of, you know, for practical reasons. And no offense to people who are from Tallinn and love Tallinn, but it's not my town. But saying that, it's much better place than it used to be back in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm. So what are the main differences that Tallinn was and Tallinn is now?
I think, you know, the thing is, it has changed, the country has changed, and Tallinn is the epicenter, you know, whether you like it or not, of Estonia, you know, the business and cultural center of the country and economic center. And it really, you know, it's, I guess it's, it portrays what, you know, the changes Estonia has come through all those, you know, 30 plus years. It is definitely more livable now, you know. It's everything has improved, you know, the general environment, you know, it's still not as good as it should be. But in the 1990s, let's say, even practically, example, traffic culture, you know, the way people drove the cars, you know, over the speed limit all the time, there were no cycle lanes at all. Now obviously we complain that there are not enough, but at that time, you know, you know there were no cycle lanes and no such beautiful parks. You know, all the old industrial areas that have been redeveloped now, you know, at that time they were still in either the same industry still functioning, or they were like in ruins, you know. And all that has changed. And I think the general kind of course people have become a bit more relaxed, actually, and I think more friendly, definitely more friendly, you know, more European, you know, the country has changed so much. Mm-hmm.
But now we talked about how Tallinn has changed, but as you mentioned, your home country was Pärnu. Has this changed that much as well, or not that much?
Hometown. Yes, Pärnu. Pärnu has changed as well. I think Pärnu is one of the towns in Estonia that has also positively changed, as well as Tartu and I think Haapsalu and Viljandi, you know, the sort of bigger towns have all benefited from the, you know, progress. And of course, you can't deny that a lot of them have benefited from the European Union, you know. Pärnu has been very successful of actually getting a lot of European Union money to improve the infrastructure, you know. I mean, it's a small town, 40,000 people, but I met some people from other countries, some tourists who come to Pärnu and say, you know, when they ask, you know, how many people live here, they don't believe that it's only town of 40,000, because it actually feels bigger, you know, if you're looking at the infrastructure and stuff. And I think Pärnu is strategically is very well located, better than Tartu, in fact, because, you know, it's in the middle of the Baltic, and you know, you can drive to Riga, they can fly there, which has got much better connections than Tallinn. But what Pärnu lacks is culture. Definitely, I mean, in summer it's okay, you know, a lot of events, but in winter, very little to do. So out of my high school, actually all of my, you know, mates there have moved on either to Tallinn or abroad. Very few people have actually remained in Pärnu. I would consider living there again in future, but The condition must be that Rail Baltica must be built. So you can take a train in 45 minutes.
I know people who have same conditions who are from Brno, and they have told that when Rail Baltica, the new train connection, comes, then they would move back.
Yeah, exactly. It's a beautiful place to, you know, if you have a family and for kids to grow up, and it's very, very, you know, nice environment in that sense. But coming back, I mean, yeah, so I had a personal crisis, and then I had a friend who worked in Brussels. He was at the time working for Estonian Radio. He was a Brussels reporter there for Estonian National Radio. And he came to Estonia on holiday by his car. And then I just, you know, I met and I asked him, when are you going back, you know, to Brussels or Belgium? And he said, you know, soon. And then so I actually, then okay, I thought, you know, time to move to go and see the world.
Wow, okay. Weren't you afraid? You said you moved, you liked your life in Brno, you moved to Tallinn, you didn't really like it. But then moving to another country and another capital city, weren't you afraid of another disappointment?
I wasn't. I was afraid of, you know, this always, you have this fear of unknown, because, you know, when you move somewhere, you don't know what will happen. But I think when you're like, you know, in your early 20s, you don't think much about it. Now, you know, if you're a bit older, you have some other responsibilities, then you think twice. But in your early 20s, you don't. And no, I wasn't. I was, I drove back with him to Belgium. I stayed in his place for 3 weeks. And of course, I even started looking for a job there. But I didn't speak any French or North Flemish. And at that time, we were not even a member of the European Union yet. So it was very difficult to find a job. And then one of his friends there said, oh, you know, why don't you go to London? Everyone will get on there. I mean, well, you know, just manage there. And so I did. And yes, I was a bit afraid, you know, I thought in London, yeah, it's such a huge city and it's a bit of a risk. But I did. I bought a ferry ticket. I took a ferry from Ostend to Dover in England. And I remember the Belgian customer, and, you know, the official, the border official said, no, they will not let you in, because I only had one backpack. And obviously in the early 20s, it was quite obvious that might be one of those who you will go there and just, you know, start working. And again, the UK was not part of UK was not even part of Schengen, and Estonia was not part of the European Union. But by that time, there was a deal between Estonia and the UK that Estonian citizens can go there for 3 months as tourists. Yeah. And so I did. And then for sure, they did asked me some questions on the UK side when I arrived in the UK. I remember I had like my friend who worked as a journalist, he had in Brussels, he had taken me to NATO's headquarters, and I had this temporary kind of visitor's press card, and I showed that on the UK's border official, said I'm actually a freelance journalist, even though at that time I wasn't, you know, I was into media, but I actually wasn't a journalist. And, he let me go. And then, you know, I arrived in London, I had £50 in my pocket, which even in back then, over 20 years ago, it wasn't much, you know, £50 in London.
Oh my God, it does not sound much.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And so, and then I think that money lasted about a couple of days. I stayed in hostels, and then I borrowed from my parents another 100 quid, which I think they transferred. That was way before TransferWise. It was much more complicated to wait to try transfer money there, you know. And then I found, I think my first job there was, I was delivering leaflets to telephone boxes. You know, they had this kind of...
Yeah. Oh, back in the day when we had telephone pots. Oh no, they still have it in UK actually.
I think they have few, but not that many anymore. Yeah. But anyway, and so yeah, then I found a job as a cleaner. I'm very proud of the jobs I did, you know. So just because the way when you do jobs like that, you actually appreciate so much more in late life, and you also empathize with different people. And so I lived in hostels, I think, for, you know, 6 months or something like that, even longer. Yeah,
but you had tourist, what was it, the visiting opportunity for 3 months officially. So What? How did you stay? Or did you risk with not being able to come back later on? Like if you extend the stay, what happens if you...
I did. Yeah. I risked, and I can honestly say that I stayed illegally. I have been an illegal immigrant, and I'm not ashamed to say that, because you know I didn't see any other option. I didn't want to go back to Estonia. I thought, you know, I've already come to London. I want to prove myself. And eventually I found someone who organized me some sort of residence permit. It's still a bit murky how, but I got it, and it was in my passport. And then I stayed in the UK for about 5 years without coming back to Estonia, which is quite unusual, a long time, because the reason being I didn't want to leave the country, because I thought, you know, my papers are not in order, and they will not let me back.
Yeah. So what was it about London that kept your interest or that you wanted to stay there for such a long time?
London, it's just, I kind of immediately fell in love, because it was just everything. It's the least. I mean, it's a cliche, but it is one of the most cosmopolitan places in Europe, and actually one of the most cosmopolitan cities in the world. And it's just, I've always been curious about people and culture and life. And in London, actually, there's a good saying, if you are tired of London, you're tired of life. I say.
Okay.
It's a bit hard. Yeah, I know. I'm not saying it's always like, it's not always the case, because, you know, London is going to be a very difficult place to be. But I mean, if you're in, you know, in your 20s, and I think in your 30s, it is exciting place to be, because you will never get bored. There's just so much going on. The people you meet, and there's so much alternative culture as well. You know, clubs, galleries, etc. And for me, it was just exciting place to be. And I even though it was very, you know, hard at the beginning, but at the same time, it was exciting, because you test yourself what you can achieve and whether you can survive, and yeah, that kept me going, and I was quite happy actually. I was actually, yeah.
Nice. But how different was your life living in London versus living in Tallinn, for example, or in Pärnu?
Well, I mean, very different, because, you know, as I said, it's so cosmopolitan place. In London, I mean, 50% of London's populations are actually people who are, you know, in one way or another from different country. I think only 50% are considered English. And just, you know, it's something you will, especially at that time. Of course, now Tallinn has become more international. But, you know, back in early 2000s, it wasn't an international place. And Pärnu, not at all. It was kind of very, you know, mono-ethnic place. And that time, you know, you couldn't meet people from all around the world. And that was a big difference. And, of course, the things you can do there. And you know, in London, you know, it's not... At that time, when an international star came to Estonia, let's say Michael Jackson or Rolling Stones, that was the headline news. But, you know, if you live in London, it's like you open what's on tonight, and then this question of which international star performs tonight, not like, you know, next summer or, you know. So, of course, Estonia has, now we have more and more international bands and stuff here as well, but at that time it was very different. So it was very different, but of course it wasn't as comfortable in terms of your, you know, you don't have the social network, at the beginning, no friends, no family. It was very difficult. But I was quite lucky. I became one of my best friends still. He came to London at the same time from Wales. So it's British but Welsh, you know, and we became good friends, and we had lots of good fun together, you know. I mean, in terms of, you know, going to different events and stuff and parties, it was fun time, and you know. But in London, it's just like one thing leads to another.
this is the thing in London. You have a lot of, if you are willing to, you have energy and ambition, you can always move on, you know, if you want to. So I always, you know, as I said, I started as a cleaner, and then I started working in bars, restaurants, and then I worked to, I went to study there as well. Actually, I went to, attended University of London and I studied politics and society. Then I got a job at the law office, which was very, very professional law office. And so one thing leads to another, you know. And also, it's good and bad, of course, because on one hand, it's good that, you know, you will not become complacent or too, you know, so you have lots of competition and that kind of pushes you as well. This is one thing I still miss about London, because I think in Estonia, especially because it's my country where I come from, it's more comfortable to be here. So I become more lazy here sometimes in a way, you know. It's just, oh, you know, it's nice to just relax and go for a walk and stuff. Whereas in London, you can't stand still like that. One of the reasons is also economical, because, you know, it is an expensive place to live and you have to pay your bills. And so you cannot just, you know, say, take 3 months off and then, you know, sit on the sofa and that kind of thing. But in a way, it's good because it develops you know, professionally. So I always felt like London developed me professionally much more than Estonia at the time. I think, you know, most of my work experience is from London still, and it still lives with me, you know, the experience and people I met there and what I learned from them. And, you know, one of my employers was Australian actually, but, you know, very, very good professional guy, and things I learned, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you saw a lot of different sides of London, working in a professional environment, going to see those international music stars and working in bars and so on. Was there anything that you felt you miss about Estonia when you live in London?
At the beginning, not much. Really, at the beginning, I saw even like some nightmares that I'm forcibly taken back to Estonia. No, it's this thing. It may be interesting, you know, strange to now for many people to hear that, because I'm running an online outlet that writes about Estonia. But at that time, I was very much sort of, you know, I want to integrate into British society. You know, thinking in English and stuff, because, you know, you learn the language quicker. But I, of course, you know, you do start missing your family, friends, and certain aspects, you know, maybe some food as well. But I was into food as well. And I actually enjoyed the variety of cuisine in London, especially the Asian food.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, things changed a bit. I think I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder, because things didn't go that well to me in Estonia. And I think things started changing when I'd been in London about 9 or 10 years, and I came on a holiday here, and I met an Estonian girl who, you know, briefly became we became a couple. She was my girlfriend, and I think she said, oh, you know, you're very critical of Estonia, and you have this chip on your shoulder, and that kind of made me think. And then, of course, at the same time, the Estonian community in London became very active. A lot of young, because when Estonia joined the European Union, a lot of Estonian professionals started coming to work in London, you know, including the guys who started TransferWise, which is Wise now. And then I think, yeah, I started participating in those events, and then so this connection with Estonia became stronger again. And then that's when we got into media as well. Was just I had a friend who worked for Delfi and Eesti Päevaleht, Estonian, you know, one of the biggest Estonian language online portals here. And I came to one of, again, I think it was a Christmas holiday in 2011. And I met with the editor-in-chief of Eesti Päevaleht and Delfi. And I had an urge to get into media. I've always been, you know, following media, reading media, and I didn't mention before, I briefly studied at the University of Tartu in Estonia. I actually studied journalism, but again, I didn't graduate.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, like in Tallinn and in London, you didn't study journalism, so.
Yeah, I studied in Estonia at the University of Tartu, and but I didn't graduate, and so I wanted to get into media. And actually, my first ambition was to get into English, you know, British media. But I started, I had an idea to start interviewing Estonians who work in London. So what we call now sometimes global Estonians. And so I had this idea and I proposed that to the editor-in-chief of Delphi. He liked that idea and then I started contributing from London. So my first articles were for Delphi and Eesti Päevaleht. But what happened was that one day he sent me an email. I was still working for a law firm actually in London. He sent me an email, said, can you go to interview this Estonian fugitive in London? The lady was called Anna Maria Kalojan. I think she had stolen some money from one of the NGOs here in Estonia and then went to the UK. And Estonia wanted, you know, to get her to UK to extradite her. Yes, and sort of take to court here. And so, yeah, anyway, so the Delphi guy sends me an email, said, can you go to this court case, you know, and I said, okay, but this is not what I signed up, you know, I was still working full time, you know, on my tail jobs, and I can't go, you know, running around in London, you know, after some Estonian fugitive. And so that was this moment. I was on my lunch break in the middle of London and the city of London. And so suddenly just out of the blue, I had this idea, okay, I will start my own outlet, you know, and I will do, you know, will do what I want, you know.
That's humble. Like, yeah. Instead of just writing articles, let's just make a full outlet.
Exactly, you know. And so I had this idea, and even the name Estonian World just came to me like right at that moment, because the logic behind it was that Estonians who are, you know, global and around the world, and that's, you know, how this name came about. And so I think a few weeks later, I went to interview Chris Sonic. She's a fashion designer, London-based. And that was still for Eesti Päevaleht. And so after that, I had interviewed her. She invited me to some Estonian fashion party going on. I think it was London during the London Fashion Week. And at that party, I met Sander Saar, who became my co-founder at Estonian World. He was doing some work for Estonian national television there, actually, you know, he was a bit of a cameraman as well. And so I proposed, said, look, I've got this idea. And we started talking, and he turned out he's like also like a graphic designer a bit, you know. So he immediately said, oh, great idea. And then that's how we started, you know. So we, together with Sander, we started Estonian World.
And was the initial idea to start writing about those global citizens or people who live in London, or to write about different things as well?
The first idea was really to write about those global Estonians and also to let them to write about the local environments and also the challenges, etc. That was the first idea when we started. But that quickly changed after we had started, because it turned out it's not so easy to find enough of those people who want to talk about themselves or can write or are able to write. Some people want to, but they're not good writers. And so we gradually changed. We started writing more and more about also like Estonian companies that are actually based in Estonia but are global, you know, have good global approach, you know, such as, you know, TransferWise, or there was others like many companies, and also culturally, you know, sort of culture, you know, like our conductors and orchestras and composers, and Arvo Pärt, of course, is, you know, one of the most famous examples, but so sort of global stories that would be relevant to global audiences. So yeah, we really like kind of gradually developed, you know, over the course. And of course, like Estonian community in London was the first sort of community who started, you know, sharing our stories. And then it kind of gradually, organically really grew quite fast, especially in social media.
Mm-hmm. And today you're still the head you're still tightly involved in this organization and growing it. So how much has it changed, and how much has the idea changed, what you want to give further with this initiative?
Yeah, Estonian World has changed a bit over the years, because as I said, when we started, we were really very positive, you know, we wanted to highlight the positive stories. But what happened was, because Estonian World reconnected me with Estonia, then 2 years later, after we started Estonian World, I actually came back to Estonia in 2008. I think, yeah, what happened was that, you know, when you live abroad, you see things sometimes through sort of rose-tinted glasses. You don't, because you don't live here, you also forget the negative, and you don't really know what's happening on the ground. And you tend to see, you start missing a lot of, you know, the good things, and you know, your food, and I don't know, walking in the forest, and you know, all the you know, those good things that, you know, about Estonia. But when I came back, I gradually started seeing also what's wrong with it here. And of course, for me, I think one of the biggest shocks was really the question of sort of tolerance, and of course, you know, the openness. Because indeed, when you live in London, you are used to people from all over the world and different cultures, and you become more open-minded, you know, and you develop more empathy as well. You know, you understand different people, and you see the different problems and stuff. And I think, you know, that was for me a big shock, of course, in 2015, when there was a refugee crisis here. In Estonia, when we saw that, you know, people who you would have respected before and you perceive them being really intelligent, nice people, suddenly became openly racist, you know, yeah. And said things like, which were racist and also ignorant, you know. I still remember that some people didn't even place Syria in the Middle East, but said, oh, you know, it's in Africa, you know. You know, so like so basic things that you would expect. We say we're very proud of our education system. But I think we lack sometimes the understanding of different cultures. And I think that was quite obvious at the time. And so, yeah, you know, those things you start noticing. And of course, the social issues, you know, the poverty gap that we still have, and gender pay gap, and of course, attitudes towards sexual minorities as well. You know, that was also one of the first eye openings, was just when I came back, was in the parliament, they debated what they called Cohabitation Act, or basically civil partnership bill, which would allow same-sex couples to register. And, you know, that was just... It was surprising that, you know, you would consider mainstream parties come up with homophobic statements such as that. That's, you know, in the UK, just a couple of years before, conservative government legalized gay marriage, conservative government, you know, and here what is conservative, what's liberal, it's all very blurred. I think we still lack sort of, you know, understanding of those ideologies as well. But anyway, that's a lot different subjects altogether. But yeah, so Estonian world changed in that process and gradually. And we're still obviously positive outlet, but we don't sugarcoat. I mean, we highlight those critical issues. And of course, you know, 3 years ago when we had this government which included ECRE, Estonian Conservative People's Party, which is a far right populist party by, you know, international standards. And again, we were very critical. And not because, you know, you wake up, you say, I hate ECRE. No, not like that. It's just that we always thought that the Estonian world and we said publicly that since day one that we stand up for certain values, and those values are universal values, you know, that you respect minority rights, human rights, and ECRE just went against those values, and that's why we started, you know, publishing some negative opinion. I mean, negative or critical opinion articles about them, for example.
Yeah, and I think you've gotten, throughout the years, you've gotten some criticism on your own or towards yourself as well, like that you write these things and you translate those into English. How have you dealt with that?
That also surprises me. And that just shows that a lot of people still don't understand how media works and what the independent media is about. And then generally, you know, media is not a peer public relations operation, you know, like traditional media outlet must stick to the facts. And I've always told to those people that we stick to the truth and facts, you know. It still puzzles me that some people think that an English language Estonian media outlet should only write about, you know, positive things. And just to start with, is you know, this is not what media is about. And the other thing is, if we didn't write about them, do people really think that we are the only English language channel? We're not. I mean, to start with, international press news agencies have their reporters in Estonia as well. Bloomberg does, AP has, you know, so someone will write about it anyway. You cannot hide the truth in 21st century, in our, you know, information age. So I find it quite amusing, actually. But I think it happened because when we started as a very positive outlet, and so many people got used to it. I think that's one of the reasons. And then so for those people, it came as a surprise that we also suddenly write about those, you know, critical issues. I think that's what happened. But I think a lot of people have become used to it now, you know.
Yeah, that might have been. And you mentioned that when you moved back to Estonia, then you started, suddenly you saw that there is more negative things as well in Estonia, and you had the opportunity to compare different things. But what else did you notice, or what had changed in you or in your outlook on life when you returned to Estonia?
Oh, that's a good question. I remember I came back as I was very positive, actually, because, you know, when you've been away for so long, you come with a, you know, different fresh ideas, and you see again from a fresh perspective. And I think that was the main thing. I came back and I was really, you know, very, very positive and full of energy. And but I think one of the main things was that my mindset had become more open, more global, that I see things in a big picture more. And I still try to see that because I follow, you know, international media, and I still travel, and I have a lot of friends abroad. And I think we lack that sometimes still, that Estonia is still very, in a way, it's understandable. I mean, it is different country from the UK or the US, which are more international countries and more cosmopolitan. And I think Estonia as a society is still quite conservative, actually. Quite conservative. We are in a bit of a bubble here. You know, we're in Tallinn. It's more, you know, urban, more liberal, more international now. But if you're talking about population in general, it's still quite conservative. And I think when I lived in England, I became more liberal person, really, and still am, you know. And I think that was, you know, one of the changes, really. But just before I came back to Estonia, I actually spent a year in Asia. I spent 6 months in India and 6 months in Sri Lanka. And that itself changed me a bit as well, because, again, that's very different from the UK as well. Because when you're in India, it's a country of 1.2 billion people. When you're there, you don't anymore think, oh, I'm from Estonia, or I'm from England, or I'm from Germany. You then say, I'm from Europe. You know, that was the interesting thing there, because then for the first time, I identified myself more as a European, not like as an Estonian or, I don't know, British or whatever. Because from Indian perspective, you know, they don't know most of the European countries. They know the UK and Italy and Germany and France, probably, you know, the big countries. But I mean, if you're talking about ordinary Indian, you know, most Indians have never been abroad. It's a very different society.
But what made you move there, especially after living in such a big, vibrant city in London?
Yeah, but this is the thing. By that time, I had become a bit tired of London. And of course, you know, I had started Estonian World, and then it was very difficult to run an outlet and work for a, you know, in a city firm from 9 to 5. So I'll be honest, I had some issues already at work, because, you know, it was difficult. I was sometimes, you know, doing Estonian World at night, sleeping like 2-3 hours, and then going to work, you know. Just otherwise, you know, and I would have not been able to run Estonian World. But obviously, you know, when you sleep like 2-3 hours, and then it will be noticeable if you do it like, you know, not just one day, but, you know, almost every day. And so I left the company, and then as I said, in London, if you don't have like a stable income, it's quite a, you know, tough. So then I thought, okay, let's try India, you know, because it's first, it's cheap, and second, I had actually become interested about India. You know, I've heard about the spirituality, and I met some people who traveled there. And so I went to India, and I first flew to Mumbai, and that was exactly like in that movie, the Slumdog Millionaire. It was shocking because it was just it's just on your face, you know, all the poverty and you know, it is pretty dirty place. And so I lasted there about, I think, 2 or 3 days, and then I took a train to Kerala, which is, you know, in the south of India. And I went to a city called Kochi, or Cochin, it's got two names. And so I went to Kochi's old town, which is a bit of colonial style, you know, Portuguese built like 300-400 years ago, and a bit European in architecture style. And then I rented a room there and I stayed there. And I was driving around in Kerala as well. But I think really I enjoyed that time. I think, as one of the locals said as well, you see that when Europeans come, you know, especially, you know, like Western Europe and big cities, there's a bit of tension still, you know, because it's tense, you know, if you're in London or Paris or Berlin, whatever. And over there in India, it was like, you know, you become relaxed quite quickly and completely relaxed, because you then see that the problems we have in what we call first world problems, over there, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. You know, you actually see so many people living who have nothing, you know, or living on the street. And then, yes, indeed, it sounds like a cliche, but a lot of them still look happy. They still smile because the religion and the spirit is so strong. You almost feel it in the air, you know. And I enjoyed it. And I ran Estonian World from there, which sometimes was difficult because, you know, the internet wasn't that great, obviously.
So how did you meet people, or how did you make the interviews or stories while living there?
I was doing it online, so obviously not face to face. And but, you know, we used, it was before Zoom, but you know, still using Skype or things like that. Actually was pretty good. It was very inspirational time, you know. And I think that one, I think Estonian World was also quite positive, because I lead myself in an environment where I felt really positive, you know. And so it was a very spiritual place, and I would like to actually return one day again to India. And then I went to Sri Lanka as well, because one of my friends in London was originally from Sri Lanka, and he got married there, and he invited me to his wedding. But then the house they have there, it just stayed empty, because they actually live in Europe, you know, he and his family. So he offered me, you know, you can stay there, you know, and I stayed there in the Bangalore for about 5 months or something, which was in a small village in a jungle, really. I think in that village at that time, I was the only Westerner or only European. So it was like when you walk around, everyone is looking at you. It was really a jungle, and you had like snakes in the garden and stuff like that, you know. But again, experience, you know. Sri Lanka is a beautiful place, actually. You know, it's some of the most amazing sunsets and sunrises I've ever seen, you know. Beautiful place. But of course, yeah, you know, you can't stay there forever, because you have lots of challenges, you know, including the internet. You know, you have blackouts there, you know.
So it was harder to work from there than those blackouts.
It was, but you know, you managed somehow, you know.
But it sounds like a full, like, relaxing year after in living and working in a busy city like London, and then returning to Estonia. As I understood you, you already mentioned that when you return to Estonia, you will really positive, full of energy. Was that all the energy that you got from Asia? Is that the formula that others should follow as well? Like, before you move back to Estonia from a big city, go to less developed country and less developed city, and then move back to Estonia? Or
I think everyone should really go, if they have a chance, to somewhere, yeah, and spend some time abroad. And of course, a lot of Estonians do that, but I would encourage everyone. I think it's no matter where they go, you know, it will open eyes, and it is good to do. I mean, it's difficult to say recommend a certain formula, because everyone has got their own tastes and likes, and you know, whatever countries they like, and but I would certainly recommend, and I would recommend to meet ordinary people, you know, because you know, it's one thing to go on a holiday somewhere and stay in a 5-star hotel, and then it's another to actually live and meet local people and see how some people live, you know. So I think it's definitely recommended. Mm.
What do you actually appreciate about Estonia and Estonians? What made you come back here?
I mean, it was a practical reason. It was when I left Sri Lanka, I went to London first, you know, because I still had my stuff there. And I think, yeah, I stayed there 4 days. And actually then, okay, I thought, you know, let's go and try to live in Estonia again. I'd also met another Estonian girl. So, I mean, it was a practical, very easy choice, of course. And so, yeah, and then I came. And then I think after a few months, I ordered my stuff back as well. And then I stayed. And I wasn't sure how long. But now I've been back here for 8 years. And I think a little bit like happened with me in London, that one thing leads to another. Some similar things happened here, was that whenever I thought of leaving again, and it has happened a couple of times, then something comes up what has kept me here. And it almost like you then start thinking, oh, is it your destiny, you know? It sounds a bit esoteric, and I'm not really, but I still sometimes think that, you know, maybe there is some part of that is to do with destiny as well in your life. And so I stayed, and then, yeah, then we had this crisis here where I also became a bit of a citizen activist. Like in 2015, I mentioned before, we had this refugee crisis here. I was part of the movement called Friendly Estonia, where we organized a concert at Tallinn's Freedom Square. You know, just basically, again, emphasizing this universal human rights and stuff. And then 2019, I was part of the movement called Kõigi Eesti, or we translated My Estonia 2. Again, you know, standing up for basically universal human rights. And, you know, these are some of the examples that have kept me here. And and also we co-founded an English language series called Astonishing Evenings. So basically we, four of us, Nele Plutus, Reelika Virunum, and Leonid Ruu, and me, we started events where we invited Estonians and also people who have come from other countries, like expats, to talk about the experiences and how they see life in Estonia. We started actually, yeah, 2017. And of course, then we had pandemic, so it's kind of on a, right, there's a bit of a break at the moment, but we ran about 35 events. Again, you know, you do your bit to make life better here. So it's not like I'm complaining, but I'm also trying to actually, you know, to do my bit to make life better here. But no, I think generally, of course, Estonia has become a better place. You know, I think, again, there's a generational change, you know, and I see, you know, the younger people get, you know, the more open they are, and you know, more traveled and educated abroad, and it's definitely changing. And of course, Estonia as a living environment, it is a good place to live in the sense that you have it's a cliche already, but indeed you have a space, you know, which in a lot of countries you don't have. You know, the nature and stuff.
I mean, physical space, right?
Physical space, yeah.
Are the other things that you appreciate about Estonia?
Well, I mean, these are probably the things, you know, and I guess, yeah, I mean, in a way, it's good that it's small, that you can quite easily get things done, and you know, really, I've been back here 8 years, and thanks to my work as well, but I can get a, you know, if I want, like, to invite someone, like a politician or opinion leader or, you know, what, a business person to our events, I reach them easily, which obviously in a bigger country, it may be more difficult. But there is a downside here as well, The downside here is because it's so small, and especially, you know, everyone who's doing something is mostly in Tallinn, to some extent in Tartu as well, but mostly in Tallinn. Everyone knows everyone. And the downside is, if you're looking from both from a media perspective and a business perspective, is that you don't want to offend, you know, those people, because, you know, you don't want to take... Exactly. And I think from a media perspective, it's a bit tricky, because that means that there's a slight self-censorship here sometimes, you know. And I've heard that from many journalists. So we are doing well in terms of press freedom. Yes, there's a freedom, but there's a bit of a self-censorship here as well. So it's a bit, it's a downside as well, you know. It's a one click, you know. But no, I mean, there's, you know... it's generally much better place to live than it used to be, you know. So definitely, but we have a long way to go. You know, this is the thing that I try to avoid, is that at the saying that it's the best country and everything is super. No, it's not, because we've got a long way to go. You know, there's so much to do, and we see there's quite a lot of divisions here in the country as well. You know, The populist party, which, you know, I mentioned before, it's much bigger than the sort of populist parties in Latvia, Lithuania, for example. And we Estonians try, you know, they like to say that we are doing much better than Latvia, Lithuania, but for example, we have some other problems, you know. So if you compare ourselves with Finland, then we've got a long way to go, I think, you know.
What are the main problems that you are annoyed with?
Well, I mean, these are what I mentioned, you know, the sort of bit of a narrow-mindedness sometimes, you know. I think we need to look at bigger picture more, really, you know, that we are part of the wider global, you know, world, and we're not like isolated island. In everyday life, I'm really still annoyed about the traffic culture. Really, it's much better than it used to be then. But I'm driving. I did my license in the UK, and actually in the UK the traffic culture is much better. You know,
is it because it's on the left side, or there's some other trick to it?
I think it's just that there's a bit more common sense and respect there in the UK when you drive. It's almost, if you look at the highway, for example, even there in the UK, you would think there's like invisible kind of standard cap between cars. Whereas here, you know, when I drive, you know, I drive quite often to Pärnu, and it's just I'm still amazed how close, you know, that other drivers drive to me. I think it's very dangerous. And also, as a pedestrian, you know, I live now in the Tallinn city center, and now I walk a lot. And I sometimes, I'm still surprised how fast, you know, even small roads, whereas a 30 kilometers per hour speed limit, you know, how fast some people drive. I think definitely should become more pedestrian friendly and bicycle friendly, you know. It's a bit, you know, so it's a very practical thing. But in terms of the cuisine, because I'm also into food a lot, this is one good thing here. Is Estonian, what we call now, I think, Estonian fusion, or modern Estonian cuisine. I think that's really good. There's a lot of Scandinavian influences, and all those, you know, restaurants and places are really good. And the customer service has improved. Though if you talk to people who have come from other countries, they're still sometimes quite critical about the customer service. But it has become better. It was really bad as well. I mean, in the past, but I think what we're lacking is a bit of a sort of more ethnic restaurants, good Asian food. That's what I miss, because I really love Asian food. You know, generally like Asian cultures and stuff. So, and of course, you know, another practical thing, you know, flight connections—they're not really good. They're really bad, actually.
They're limited.
Limited, exactly. So we could do so much better. But then, yes, you can, you know, take some flights from Riga. But yeah, there's a way to go. But I think, yeah, we need a bit more social cohesion in the society as well, more, you know, and more empathy. And but again, it has improved. You know, people have become so much more friendly. I know, even within that 8 years that I've been back, I see the positive change, you know, that people have become more polite, more friendly.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. If we go back to the food part, which I know a lot of people care a lot about food, and they're trying to find some tasty places and they want to experience Estonian food, especially many foreigners who live, who move to Estonia or who come to visit, what are your recommendations for them? What are the foods they need to try, and which food places should they definitely go to?
But restaurants, then actually Fotografiska's restaurant, Deliski Greater City, it's very good, very good, very, and, you know, reasonably priced. So that was a good, good recent experience. So what else? Some other good places. Pegasus is quite good as well. And what else was really good? I went to recently. Okay, so yeah, there's quite a few of them, but I mean, Fotografiska's restaurant definitely is very good. It was good, very good experience, good service, good food. In Oblesnar, there's quite a few nice places. Kampai, Lore Bistro, Pegasus is a nice place as well. Yeah, increasingly nice. Oh, and or recently I was in Vesu, place called 38, I think. It's in Vesu, really nice sort of Estonian fusion, really beautiful place.
Cool. If we're talking about advice and tips, so what would be your advice on other expats who are moving to Estonia? What do you think they should definitely experience about Estonia?
I think really get out more from Tallinn, because I still see that a lot of people stay here, you know, or maybe go nearby. But I think definitely I would recommend to discover more and travel around Estonia and see different places, because, you know, Estonia is not just Tallinn. There's so many beautiful nature parks, of course, and national parks, you know, Lahemaa, of course, which is, that's not that far from Tallinn. But also, you know, nice small towns, Viljandi, Haapsalu, already mentioned before, Pärnu, islands, Hiiumaa, you know, for example. Also south of Estonia, which has got a little bit different landscape, you know. Estonia is very flat, but if you go to Otepää or, you know, nearby, actually it's, you know, it's a different landscape. And just so, you know, see different small places, villages. Of course, language is one of the things, you know, because if you go outside, you know, Tallinn, or if you go to people, you know, from older generation, there's a bit of a language barrier still, you know, people maybe not so fluent in English, even though a lot of them can get by, you know. My parents are in their 70s and they can actually speak a few words in English. So, but yeah, definitely see different side of Estonia. And I think it helps in the longer run as well in terms of the integration. So, you know, I've seen it myself. I participated in one of the events where Sri Lankan refugees who are in Estonia were went to sort of cook their food and meet local people. And we once went to Jõgeva County, which is, you know, in sort of near Tartu. And one of the refugees there, he's younger, he goes to school here. He already speaks Estonian. And when he spoke in Estonian to those locals, you could immediately see how they, you know, faces lit up and they were so positively, pleasantly surprised. I think a lot of Estonian people really appreciate that. But I think it's hard as well, because yeah. Quite often, when expats try to speak in Estonian, Estonians don't have patience and started speaking English. I know it's not easy. But I think, yeah, it would go a long way, and maybe try to read in Estonian then. Maybe one way to learn language, I don't know. But when I was in England, I mean, I started reading English newspapers and watched the English, you know, media, TV, television and stuff. So it was also one way to learn the language. But yeah, definitely get out from the bubble, because it's a small country and I think it helps in the long run. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think those are pretty good recommendations. Before we start wrapping up, At this point in your life, do you still think sometimes that you want to live abroad, and which country would you still want to make home?
Yeah, I still do. I'm a bit restless in that sense, and I still consider myself as a sort of citizen of the world and cosmopolitan person. I get quite restless quite often. I also spent some time in Germany a few years ago. I was working briefly for Deutsche Welle in Bonn in Germany, and so I've traveled Germany more than any country in the last sort of 5 years now. So because of, you know, the part of the German media program, and of course I sometimes still miss London as well, and I go to London, like, you know, at least once a year, but I've been back in 3 times in the last 6 months or so, and I wouldn't rule out, you know, to live somewhere again, but I wouldn't probably go back to the same place, because I would like to, you know, to experience living in a different country. I wouldn't rule out to live in Asia again, in some of the countries in Asia, but maybe more developed ones than India. No offense, but you know, I've become fascinated with Taiwan recently, even though it's a bit in a similar situation as Estonia. You know, next to a big giant neighbor who's, you know,
playing a bit.
Exactly. Also, the United States, again, it's a bit of a tricky. I mean, I've been in the States and got a lot of readers there, and the United States has fascinated me. But of course, there's a lot of aspects about the States that I don't like. You know, I consider myself as a European, but I wouldn't rule out to some point that, you know, I would, or Canada. I recently become a bit involved with a Estonian community in Canada as well. Actually, they build a new art center there called the Estonian Art Center in Toronto, and I become a board member there, and so I wouldn't rule out, you know, to visit that place more. But yeah, I mean, home, of course, you know, I mean, if you're born in Estonia and your family is here, then it, I guess it's fair to say that you know, this place is your home. But on the other hand, we can say that, you know, the entire world is our home, you know, if you're looking at, you know, wider, bigger picture, you know.
So, yeah,
we'll see.
I see how that was a complicated question for you. But I
would like to add that Estonia definitely has got so much more potential. The good thing about Estonia is that indeed, in a sort of, you know, wider perspective, it has, the life has become better here all the time. It has developed. There's no major, like, catastrophes here. You know, in terms of also, you know, if you're looking at it from an environmental point of view, we are actually well located. If you're looking through the perspective of climate change, for example, you know, I mean, we also have a heat waves here now, but they're not as bad as, you know, in south of Europe. And it's very family friendly place. So in that sense, I see a lot of potential also for Estonia to, you know, to attract more people from elsewhere. But we need to just to overcome some of the challenges and issues and to deal with the issues we have, you know. But I think generally Estonia is a nice place to live.
That's a really good place to end our chat. It was really nice to have you here and to hear about your journey moving to the UK and then exploring Asian countries and then coming back to Estonia and doing it all while building up EstonianWorld.com. Is there anything else you would like to add before we say goodbye to the listeners?
I think that's okay, but yeah, come to Estonia.
Sounds good. So for all the listeners, find Found in Estonia on Facebook, on Instagram, and on foundinestonia.com, where you can join the monthly newsletter as well. And as I mentioned, this season is sponsored by a non-profit organization called Mondo, and Mondo aims to reduce global inequality. So this media content has been prepared in cooperation with NGO Mondo in the framework of the project I Am European, Migration Stories and Facts for the 21st Century, funded by the European Union and the Estonian Centre for International Development, ESTEV, The content of this media content does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of the funders. That's it from my side. Until next time.